Good afternoon slash morning. I'm going to call the Tax Committee to order. Members, thanks for getting here. We don't have a quorum yet, but we delayed a half hour so people could kind of take a little cat nap maybe and or get their lunch or whatever they had to do. So Representative Barrett is chairing today, and we've got two authors. I know one's in the room, and I'm going to turn it over to Representative Barrett.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. And we, Chair Lanchesky mentioned, we have two bills today. We have House File 288, Representative Fisher, and House File 304, Representative Franson. And I'm not sure if Representative Franson is here yet or not. She walked in the hall, okay. Well, if we could bring Representative Fisher, if you could, wouldn't mind coming up to the testifying table.
Talking about permanent disqualifiers sometimes.
You can just start with Mary.
So I think what we're going to do is both bills are identical, and I believe both bills do have an author amendment. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about both bills at the same time. We can only move one at a time. So, and I don't think we can move them yet. We don't have a quorum, but we can certainly talk about the particular bills in question. So I don't know which one of you two would like to go first.
All right.
Representative Franson, House File 304 will wait and move that for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill until we get a quorum. But Representative Franson, please, and I guess we do have a quorum. So first things first, I think what we'll do is we'll offer up a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Representative Carlson has looked at the meeting minutes and approves them. So do we need a second? We need a second. Okay. Representative Carlson has made a motion to approve. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the last meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against, no. Motion is accepted and passed by the committee. So we will get to then House File 304, Representative Franson. And if I could ask for a motion from one of the committee members to
Mr. Chair,
to adopt the bill. Representative Drazkowski.
I would move the H.O. 304A1 amendment on Representative Franson's bill.
Thank you. Representative Drazkowski moves for to present the bill in front of the committee.
Actually, I think we have to move the bill first, Mr.
Chair. We move the bill. Thank you.
The cobwebs are coming out.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move House File 304 and Madam Chair, that it be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you. Representative Drazkowski moves House File 304. Representative Franson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a straightforward bill. Basically, this is just a capital exemption allowed at the time of purchase instead of our employers filing the paperwork, cumbersome paperwork, and submitting it for a refund. Eventually, this would be a cost savings to the Minnesota Department of Revenue by eliminating 2.5 full-time employees. And so I look forward to the discussion here.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Representative Drazkowski, do you have a question?
Actually, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move H.O. 304A1 at this point, the author's amendment to Representative Franson's bill.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. We have House... We have H.O. 304A1. Representative Drazkowski has moved to approve that amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against, nay. And the amendment is adopted. Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Representative Franson, anything you'd like to say about the A1 amendment?
Nope. That's great. Okay.
And do you have any testifiers?
I do. I believe the chamber is here and NFIB.
And before we get to that, Representative Fisher, do you have anything you'd like to comment on? Your bill is the same as Representative Franson's.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Committee. I appreciate the opportunity. I just want to put in a couple of plugs. Currently, I work in the nonprofit world, and we are very fortunate that we do have a sales tax exemption when we're purchasing our items. And what's great is we're able to receive that sales tax exemption right up front and not have to go through the paperwork to get it back. And I think this is about a fairness issue, making it fair equally across the board. Also, it can be a nightmare when businesses try to fill out the forms. The forms are a lot of extra work, and it seems in some ways that it was set up in a way to try to discourage businesses from getting the credit that they richly deserve. This will help make it a better business environment, help encourage them to go through with the capital investments that eventually leads to more jobs. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fisher. To your testifiers. And as they come up, if you wouldn't mind, we have a question from Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I had not been aware of the fact that nonprofits were treated differently than for-profits with regard to this exemption. And is that true? And how, what was the rationale?
And your question is to our
I guess probably
staff,
to
Mr. Michael.
Staff, sure.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lencheski, I don't think we're talking comparable exemptions. No. There is an exemption for nonprofit purchases for certain things, but this is the capital equipment exemption for manufacturing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And if the testifiers would come up to the table. Thank you and welcome to the committee. If you could please state your name for the record and begin with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Padoon. I am representing the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. It's an organization with over 2,300 business members across the state, and about 200 of those are manufacturers. I'm also here representing the Minnesota Manufacturers Coalition, which the chamber manages. That organization is comprised of associations representing thousands of manufacturers across the state. It includes the Minnesota Precision Manufacturing Association, the Tri-State Manufacturers, the Arrowhead Manufacturer and Fabricators, Metalcasters of Minnesota, and many, many more. Converting the sales tax refund program to an upfront exemption on capital equipment has long been a priority of the Minnesota Chamber as well as the Manufacturing Coalition. We're testifying in support of both bills, House File 288 and House File 304, and I thank the authors for bringing this important issue forward this year. Just in general, we believe that tax proposals should be reviewed to see if they advance good tax policy principles of stability, efficiency, accountability, competitiveness, and equity. That ultimately will help Minnesota compete and grow in a global marketplace with an increasingly mobile workforce and capital. This bill that changes the current capital equipment to an upfront exemption is an example of good structural reform that will reduce current barriers and impediments to investing and growing businesses in Minnesota. This change has had great bipartisan support over the years, as you can see with the two authors, and is also in the governor's budget recommendation, albeit with a delayed effective date. This change, we believe, will certainly improve Minnesota's competitiveness. And the current refund, as was mentioned, is certainly an impediment to expanding in Minnesota. It causes cash flow issues, especially for small and mid-sized businesses, and is also a great administrative burden for taxpayers. And I believe Mike will talk more about that issue as well. It also results in impediments to expansions and upgrades of facilities in Minnesota's. In Minnesota, companies must cash flow the sales tax cost until the refund comes. And this is an additional hurdle to get the capital to purchase the equipment. And Mike will expand on that issue as well. We have heard from many of our members that there is tough competition for capital, so the current refund mechanism can be enough of a barrier that determines if that expansion will occur in Minnesota or elsewhere. And with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Cadone. Is there, members, are there any questions for the testifier? If not, we'll proceed to Mr. Brommelkamp. If you could please state your name for the record and begin with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike Brommelkamp. I live in Matamidi, and I'm appearing today to speak in support of bills. I am a principal and shareholder with Olson Thielen CPAs in Roseville. And I'm a member of the Minnesota Chamber, the White Bear Area Chamber, and the Minnesota Society of CPAs. In simple, the current capital equipment refund program does need to be converted to an upfront exemption. It's an unnecessary administrative burden both to businesses and the Minnesota Department of Revenue. cumbersome at best. It is described as nightmare by accounting practitioners and their business clients. It negatively affects the investment decisions of our large multi-state employers, and the program is a significant cash flow problem for many of the Minnesota medium-sized and small businesses and startups like those that I get to work with every day. When businesses plan for their capital equipment needs, large or small, they calculate a economic justification based on cash flows and projected rates of return on that investment. Currently, the initial investment cost includes the sales tax as part of that initial investment. This makes it more difficult to achieve the necessary rates of return to justify the expenditure. For multi-state businesses, this can cause Minnesota to lose out on expansion opportunities in relation to their operations in other states. For Minnesota businesses, this reduces the amounts that they can invest in new equipment and expansion of their operations. For small Minnesota businesses, the cost to administrate the refund application sometimes make it even economical to apply for the refund. Worse yet, many small businesses are not even aware of the refund and fail to take advantage of it. Most of the businesses that I work with have a difficult enough time dealing with the decision to make their additional capital investments. Funding still remains difficult to obtain, and it's a real challenge to commit to any expenditure in these times, even without the additional tax cash flow burden. Only six other states tax capital equipment investments. Those states are Alabama, Arkansas, California, Florida, Kentucky, and Mississippi. And I'm not aware of any other state that has a rebate mechanism similar to that what we're using now in Minnesota. All of us in Minnesota need to do what we can do to promote capital investment by our business community in order to support future job creation, strengthen our regional, national, and global competitiveness, and expand our state economy. In summary, converting to an upfront exemption will simplify a cumbersome process and promote transparency, simplicity, and fairness in business taxation. I believe the bill represents good tax policy on the part of the state and should be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brommelkamp. We do have a question for you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Brommelkamp, you had mentioned that there's a lot of businesses that don't access the exemption. Do you have any statistics on how many, or perhaps Ms. Cadoon's?
My firm doesn't, Chair and Mr. Representative Anderson. My firm doesn't keep those statistics, but we do have a White Bear firm, Boyum and Barenshire, that keeps those statistics. And the ones that they had for the past year showed that only 65% of their clients were taking advantage of the refund program. Oh. Now, that's happenstance information. I believe that the number is probably slightly higher than that because that firm deals with more smaller clients. But the smaller clients that don't feel like they can even process the refund application have to go to a professional like me in order to do that kind of stuff, and then that just costs them even more. And in some cases, it would cost more than they would get back on a $10,000 or $20,000 capital investment.
Representative Anderson, follow-up. Representative Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Brommelkamp and Ms. Cadoon, thank you for being here. And I really want to thank Representative Fisher and Representative Franzen, and this is really a very bipartisan thing, but no one ever seems to be able to get it done. And Ms. Cadoon, you said that the governor is proposing this, and it's a little different schedule. I was thinking along the same lines as Representative Anderson. You know, the price tag on this one, I think, is what always stops members. And I think members, if they're honest, know that this is just another gimmick. And there's little gimmicks hidden in the tax code, and it's just another one of them. So a truly gimmick-free sort of situation would achieve this. And I'm just wondering, you know, looking at the price, particularly in the first year, that's what always stops members in their tracks. But, you know, have you thought, either of you, of a way that people could make headway for convenience for the folks who are either not knowing there's a refund or looking at the price tag, as your testimony just said, it's such a hassle, forget it, we'll just eat the loss. Is there a different way that you can think of that could assist these people? For example, right now I think we make them, they can claim twice a year, they can do multiple asks within a claim, but they can do it twice a year. I mean, is there anything the Department of Revenue and the legislature could do that would assist at least in some complexity of this, you know, obviously buying the gimmick away would be the best thing of all, but do you have a thought on something else?
Ms. Cadoon?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lincheski, I'm not sure of how you could administratively make it easier. That's maybe a question I'll see if Mike has any answers to, but I think there is ways on how you could actually achieve this by also phasing it in, because I know the upfront cost has been the issue, because it's really a timing issue right. when this impacts the budget, right? So there are ways I think you could also phase it in. You could do it by number of employees, and I think we've seen some revenue estimates on that. And then stagger it by increasing levels of employment might be a way that you could actually phase this in and get rid of it over time, looking at how the budget might be able to deal with this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Rommelkamp.
I've struggled with the question as well. It's not the first time I've read it, had it asked. There's a couple things that come to mind. One is greater simplicity. You know, when you take a look at the form, I could send everybody on the committee a form, and they would come back filled out 12 or 15 different ways. Definitions are difficult, and it is not as simple as me sitting down for 15 minutes and filling it out for a client. You got to figure out what qualifies, what doesn't qualify, timing. Are you doing it twice a year? And then you have to put it, of course, in with all the rest of our sales tax rules and regulations. We have full-time people at our firm that do nothing but sales tax and use tax work. I agree with Lynn that phasing it in may be the only reasonable alternative to you, and I think it would have to be done by setting your priorities. If you want this to be done so that it affects small business, you know, I would argue on a bipartisan basis, this is about jobs, and we want to make sure that the people who are doing the greatest amount of job creation would get, you know, the phase in first. But it's beyond my capability of answering that question. I think I would have to go back to fiscal note research.
Thank you, Mr.
And go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Brommelkamp. Any other questions, members, for the testifiers? Okay, the chair has, we have moved the bill, and the chair is laying that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you, testifiers. And we will next, we'll move the next bill, House File 288.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House File 288.
Representative Draskowski moves House File 288. We do have an author's amendment.
Mr. Yeah. Chair.
Representative Draskowski.
If I could move H.O. 288A1, the author's amendment to House File 288.
Thank you, Representative Draskowski. Representative Draskowski moves House File H.O. 288A1. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those against, nay. And it is adopted. Amendment is adopted, and the author has it in the way in which they would like it. We've heard testimony about it. Any closing comments, Representative Fisher?
Mr. Chair, committee, thank you for the opportunity to present this. Just to re-echo very quickly, this is something that will help our economy. I think that, you know, we can't do it all at one time, getting it staggered in over time to make it fair across the board to help everybody out in our business world would be a great way to do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Fisher. I neglected to ask the audience if there's anyone else in the audience who would like to testify in favor of the bill. If so, please come forward. If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify against the bill? Very well. Thank you. The chair has referred this for possible inclusion in a future tax omnibus bill. There is one more item on the agenda, and that is the referral of certain bills to the Property Tax Division. We have eight bills here that I'll name: House File 69, House File 102, House File 297, House File 314, House File 324, House File 333, House File 377, and House File 413. And the chair will refer those to the Property Tax Division for their consideration.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Representative Davids.
I have a couple quick questions of Chair Lincheski. Very quickly, Representative Chair Lincheski, do we have the language for the tax bill from the governor's office yet?
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know the policy and technical bills from them have already been introduced. So those I've actually seen and signed, and they're in. And I think we have, I think they're being sent to the majority leader's office, so I could go check that. That's how they're, my understanding is all the big bills, and maybe Representative Carlson can correct me here, My understanding is they're going first to the majority leader's office, and a number of chairs have them and have put them in, but I haven't checked on that. You know, I don't know if it's sitting there or not, but I could go find out.
Okay, thank you, Chair Lynchess. The other thing is on House File 6, and first of all, I want to thank you for having it on the floor yesterday and moving that out. Do we have any update from the Senate at all as to where they're at on this, Bill?
Representative Lynchess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't. You know, I'm really proud of myself that I made it to my son's dermatologist appointment at 7:30. So I'll just say after a couple hours of sleep, I intended, in fact, talked to Ms. Jensen about trying to find out what the Senate did today. You know, we had heard they were taking up conformity on Thursday, which is kind of a disappointment, but then I had heard a rumor they would take it up today. So I don't know which day they're actually taking up. They took it up in the division already, and my understanding is, and I'm not positive on this, but I heard they added some, they had an amendment. And now it's going to, you know, Chair Skoy's committee, maybe today, although I had originally heard Thursday, so I honestly don't know, but we'll try to find out.
Thank you, Chair Lynchess, and thank you for your work on House Files.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
All right, any other business before the committee? If not, we stand adjourned. Tax Committee is adjourned.